Amen, amen. How's everybody doing? That's good. That's right, about the priestess word. Okay, Glenn? Well, I'm really excited to be here. I'm really excited to preach today because I don't have to wear my uniform. So, that's right. That's right. Don't I look good? I'm just like, yeah, that's right. Amen, amen. So I might get a little crazy because I'm a little free. Normally my tunic hold me back, and now I'm about to get a little loose. Okay, y'all with me? All right. Well, I am really, really happy to see so many people here today. I believe that God has a word for you. I am really excited because I can care not even one iota, but that the Cubs won anything. I just don't even care, you know. That's right. That's right. I'm from Detroit, Detroit. Amen. Amen. That's right. That's where good people live. Amen. Sorry. It's about 8 miles. Shame on you. But I am I'm going to be talking about this concept of angry God, and I believe that the world has been preaching this gospel to you. That God is not a forgiving God, that God is not a tolerant God, that God is not about love, he's not about acceptance. And sometimes, whether we believe it or not, we often accept that gospel in our hearts and in our minds. And so today, I really want to kind of refute that, and I want to teach you a few things. Are y'all with me? Y'all okay with that? All right. You better say, come on, Pastor, that's right. Got a word for you. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I know that as I just started off my message, there are a lot of people who are thinking this man is not intelligent because he did not endorse the Cubs. Lord, be with them. Forgive them anyway. God, I just want to thank you for allowing us to be here today, and I pray that these be your words and not mine. I pray that you speak to that one person that you have on your mind, God, and so that person that is struggling, that person who don't have a clear picture of you or themselves. And God, just pray that today you make that clear. I pray all these blessings in your son's name. Amen. Well, I want to tell you a little story about my grandmother, and I'll give you a little background of who I am and where I come from. As I said, I'm from Detroit, and I live with my great-grandmother. Yeah, my great-grandma. So she was like my grandma's old, and she was just, like, super old. I love my grandma, and I know what I'm about to say is going to make it seem like I don't love my grandma, but I do. She just passed away recently, so grandma, I miss you. and it was really difficult, a very difficult time, but I want to tell you a few funny stories about her. I remember when I was a kid, my grandma was so mean. And, you know, like, you know how everybody else have, like, that sweet old grandma to, like, that tells you all, you know, you're wonderful, you're great, you're kind, you're sweet, you can do no wrong, and she, like, baked cookies? Well, my grandma didn't do any of those things. And so I remember this one time I wanted to introduce my girlfriend to my grandmother. And so I was afraid to bring people to my house because my grandma was just like that. So I remember one time I was just like, Grandma, I want you to meet my girlfriend. And she said, don't bring that little ugly girl to my house. And I'm like, Grandma, you don't even know her. What you mean? And she was just like, I'm like, how do you even know she ugly? And she's like, because you ugly. I'm like, okay, all right, Grandma. And I remember I asked her this question. I was just like, Grandma, why are you so mean? Like, why are you so mean? And she said, and she used to make this face. And she said this, she said, I was a mean baby. I was a mean kid. I was a mean adult. And now I'm a mean old lady. And I used to, I'd be like, I just can't deal with you. I just can't. Like, can you, oh. And I remember there as a kid living in her house, sometimes I just feel like I had to, like, walk on eggshells. You know, because I was always afraid of what she was going to do and what she was going to say. And so I wasn't allowed to hang around some of my friends from school. I wasn't allowed to go to those parties. So eventually I became a lame, you know. Come on now. That was a word. That was a word. She said eventually. Don't go. So, I mean, we have some lames in the room. We, you know, we all have that party, that one friend. I was that one friend. I was lame. And it was all right. And so I struggled. I struggled making friends in high school. And as you can see, I was very weird. So that was a whole different other story. But my grandma didn't really help the situation very much. And so I couldn't go over other people's houses except that one friend. And that only friend that she allowed me to go over, he was a nerd. And it was just like, man. Like, this is the only person you choose to allow me to hang with? Like, he got his pants all the way to his navel. And I'm just like, come on, grandma. But that was her. Yeah, it was a struggle. So I eventually learned to love my grandmother, but I didn't like her. I really, really didn't like her, especially going to high school. It was rough. But I want to kind of talk about this idea of loving God, knowing God, and liking God. You know, a lot of times in church, even in our songs and in our language that we use, we tell people, you know, in songs, you know, love God. You know, God is a God of mercy. He's a God of grace. You know, serve God. You know, sing about God. Read about God. Praise God. You know, and sometimes we feel like God is the person that's restricting us. He's restraining us from these good, good things. Talk about being a good, good God, but he's restraining us from some good, good things. And we're like, I don't even know if I like God. Rather, I don't know if I want to sing about him or read about him or talk about him or work for him because he's holding me back from some good things. You know, sometimes in life, it feels like God is just kind of restraining us, holding us back, right? You know, like we all have those, you know, those places we want to go, you know, and we know that the church and our parents say, you know, you're not allowed to go over there. You're not allowed to do those things. And we just feel like God is holding us down. He's keeping us away from the good stuff. Anybody ever feel that way? Or maybe it's the friends, you know, like you have these awesome, amazing, cool friends that have all the nice and new gadgets, you know, all the nice clothes, you want to be like them, and you want to do whatever you have to do to be their friend, to get close to them. And it feels like the church and your family and the other people are holding you back, kind of restraining you, holding you down. And it's just like, why do I want to serve a God that's holding me back from my friends? And I'm about to really preach right now. Maybe it's that girl or that guy. Woo! And as soon as I say girl or guy, everybody looking like, you better not talk about my girl. You better not talk about my guy. You know, sometimes we know who is a God-fearing person, who we should be dating, and what their intentions are, and who we shouldn't be dating. And yet, we still go for that person because we think that that person is beautiful or whatever. And sometimes it feels like the church is saying, don't do it. And it feels like our parents are holding us back, holding us down, keeping us from this good thing. And it's just like, why do I want to serve a God, read about a God, talk about a God that is holding me back from all these good things, all these things that I like, all these things that I want to do? Now, I want to let you know that you are allowed to have your phones. So if you want to pull out your phones, that'd be great. I really want this message to go outside of this room. So if you want to use hashtag angry God, if you want to post it on Facebook, put me on live, put me on your Facebook, let all your friends see how fly I look today. That is great with me. I'm okay with that. But I really want you if that's going to be a distraction for you, you don't have to do it. But I really want you to this message to go out to somebody else, because I believe strongly that there are friends that you have and people that you know that feel exactly the same way, and they need the word. They need to know the truth. Amen? So, angry God, I believe that the picture that you have in your mind and in your heart of God, it dictates what you do, say, and think. I'm going to say that again. I think that the picture of God that you have in your mind and in your heart dictates what you do, say, and think. Like I said before, If you feel like God is holding you back, if God is restraining you, keeping you from some of these good things in life, then you won't want to serve him. You don't want to read about him or talk about him or sing his praises, right? Am I right? So I encourage you to have the correct picture of God in your mind and in your heart. And so today I really want to kind of shape and help you see the God that I see, the God that I love, the God that I know. Amen? So this angry God, you know, in the word and in the world, there are two completely different messages. The world tells you that God is all about restriction, that God is all about the do not do, that God is all about trying to keep you from some of those good things that the world has to offer. The world tells us that God is intolerant, that there are people who are different, there are people who think different, dress different, and look different, and God is saying, no, do not associate yourself with them, do not talk to them, do not love them, do not care about them, do not even think about them. And what it does is it paints this picture of this angry God, this God who is upset, this God who is waiting to step on you, waiting to destroy you, waiting that as soon as you mess up, he's going to call you out on your stuff. As soon as you mess up, he'll be there to destroy you. He'll be there to say, I told you so. He'll be there to say, you know what? You should have done this, but you did that. So you get hellfire. You had the opportunity to do right, but you chose to do wrong. So you get hellfire. You shouldn't have talked to that person today. You know better. You said some things that you didn't mean, that you shouldn't have said. If you would have read my word, then you wouldn't have said it. You get hellfire. He's like spreading hellfire like Oprah does on her show. And you get hellfire, and you get hellfire, and you get hellfire. It's just terrible. But that is the picture that the world often paints of our God, is this angry God. And this angry God is so far from the truth, it's not even funny. This God, this other gospel that they keep preaching to us and keep teaching us, is so far from the real gospel that it's laughable. Have you ever heard, seen, or taught, or, you know, I'm pretty sure all you have Facebook. I've read some people's Facebooks and some of the things that they think and that's on their heart, and they share it with the world, and they talk about my God as if he is this angry, upset, ticked off Jesus. And I'm like, whoa. That is not the God that I serve. That's not the God that I love. I don't know where that picture is coming from in your mind, in your heart, but the picture that I have of God is completely different. Amen? And so what I want to do is I want to share with you a few things that I think that might help. Some stories from the Bible. Now, I'm not going to read the Bible. I'm just going to kind of talk about it a little bit. But if you want to follow my message, you can look at it now or later. It's up to you. Luke chapter 8, verse 40. That's where I'll be. I'll be in those eight verses. And I just want to give you a synopsis of what's going on in the word. Now, in this story, Jesus is on his way to heal someone. So he is on his way. He's traveling to go heal someone. He's about his business. He got a mission and he got a goal and he's going there, right? And there's a lady who's been bleeding for like 12 years. And so sometimes when we hear this story, we don't often grasp the gravity of the situation. But let me explain to you a little bit. This lady has been bleeding for 12 years, and that day she would be considered unclean. Now, being labeled unclean was something very similar to racism and sexism, but probably worse. You see, her job, her responsibility, her only aspiration in life was to go somewhere by herself and die. To die quietly, to be away from everybody else, to not be an eyesore to those who are normal, to those who are okay, to those who are well. Her only aspiration, her only hope, her only goal in life could be go off and die. And so what she did is she decided that I need Jesus. But you see, coming in contact with someone else who's clean and you are unclean is punishable by death. Her interacting with someone who is clean and infecting them is punishable by death. She could be beheaded if she's caught. She can be killed if someone sees her and recognizes her. But she boldly approaches Jesus. And so Jesus, while he's on his way, in the middle of mission, on his way, he has a purpose, a plan, and a goal. He's on his way to do something. She gets close to Jesus, and she grabs the hem of his garment. And when she grabs him, a little power leaves Jesus and heals her. And Jesus turns around. He turns around, and he said, "Who touched me?" And at this moment, the disciples are thinking, "Jesus, you are absolutely crazy." Because at the moment, there's like 100 to maybe 200 people who are around, surrounding Jesus, touching Jesus. But yet he says, he turns around, he said, "Who touched me?" And she's afraid. This what she just did, she just broke the law. She could die for her crimes. But she speaks up and she says, "It was me." And Jesus looks at her. He shows her his face. He looks at her. And his response is, "Daughter, daughter." I don't know about you, but that's some powerful, powerful words. She grabbed him, touched him, took power from him. She didn't know how he was going to respond. She didn't know if she was going to get death. She didn't know what was going to happen next. And he turns around. He shows her his face. And the next words that come out of his mouth is, "Daughter." He didn't respond in anger. He didn't say, "You woman who's dirty and unclean, why did you touch me? Why did you mess me up like you messed up? Why didn't you listen to the rules? Why didn't you listen to the world when it says all you can ever do is die by yourself? All you could ever hope for is death, a lonely death at that." He didn't do any of that. He turned around, he showed her his face, and he said, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Your faith has healed you." See, I believe that she expected God, Jesus, to be angry. And instead, she got a loving God. She saw the face of a loving God. Amen? One that said, "Daughter," instead of saying, "Sinner." I don't know where you are in your life. I don't know where you are in your journey, your faith journey. I don't even know if you have a faith journey or where you are in that at all. But I want to encourage you, I want to tell you today that the God that we serve is not a God of anger. He is a God of love. That even though we mess up, even though that we've done all this crazy stuff to ourselves, even though we've rejected him, he still loves us. Amen? He still turns around, even when he has a completely different purpose. He's going a different way. She latched on to him, and he turned around and he said, "Daughter." Today, I believe that God wants to look at you today. He wants to see you, and he wants to say, "Daughter," or "Son, I'm here. You expected me to be one way, but I am a completely different thing." Amen? I want to tell you, I'm about to show you this picture right here. I love this picture because Jesus looks super mad right here. And then right here, he got dreads and he's like beating people. Just like, "Yes, Jesus. Don't play with my Lord and Savior, okay?" I want to tell you one more story. Well, two more. I got two more stories, actually. Well, kind of like one. I'm not really sure. I think it's one. It's one. Two. There's another story in the Bible where we kind of know where it's at a little bit. It's where Jesus, where Judas betrays Jesus. So Judas betrays Jesus with a kiss, and the high priest and all of his guards come up, and Peter, I love Peter. Peter is like, "What do we do, Jesus? You tell me what to do." And he's just like ready. He's like that friend that friend that's like, don't have them all up there, and he's just like ready to react. And so what Peter does is he just grabs his sword and he slashes off a man's ear. And Jesus says, "None of this." Jesus turns his face to the man who was a soldier of the high priest, or some versions say a slave of the high priest, and he heals him, and the man's ear is perfectly healed, perfectly fine. And I found this story to be very profound, because this man was different than a lady that we just saw in a video and we heard about earlier. Because this man didn't even know who Jesus was. Well, actually, he did know who Jesus was. He wanted to eradicate Jesus' message. He wanted to diminish the gospel. He wanted to destroy this gospel that Jesus preached about love. He wanted a different gospel to go out. And Jesus, he was opposing Jesus. And Jesus stops, turns his face to him, and heals him. While he's actively working against Jesus, Jesus stops and shows mercy. He doesn't like Jesus. He doesn't believe in Jesus. And yet Jesus stops and heals him. He wants to destroy everything that Jesus stands for. And yet Jesus stops and shows mercy. He wants Jesus killed, and eventually Jesus would be killed. And yet Jesus shows him grace. I want to tell you, to those who may not even believe in this whole Christian thing, to those of you who are struggling with the whole concept of does God love me, or who am I, and you know, is God really who I say he is? I want to tell you that our God shows mercy. Our God shows grace to even those who don't even believe in him. He shows mercy and grace to those who still are actively working against him. There are some of you in this room, your lives look completely opposite from what Jesus demands. And yet he is willing and ready to show you grace and to show you mercy. There are some of you in this room who want to do your own thing. You are upset with God because you feel like God is holding you back from this good thing. You feel like God is this angry God and you don't want any part of it, any part of church, any part of reading, any part of prayer. And yet God is willing, even then, to show you mercy and show you grace. There are some of you in this room who don't want absolutely nothing to do with the whole church idea. And yet God, in his infinite glory, is willing to show you mercy and show you grace and to prove to you that he is who he says he is. Amen? I want to close our time out with finishing up the story about my grandmother. You know, my grandmother was not a nice lady. She was actually very, very mean. But what I've learned over, you know, after I left high school and I grew up a little bit, that she was 110% right. That all those times where I felt like she was restricting me and holding me down, all those times where I felt like she was being nasty and evil and this vile creature, I'm sorry, Grandma, I know you're probably looking down like, boy, who are you talking about? But she did all those things. But she taught me this one very awesome thing. This picture is Jesus. And this is the picture that she had in her room that hung over her bed. Jesus. And I'm like, this Jesus right here? Okay. This Jesus right here got the six-pack going. Like, this Jesus right here, he ain't playing. This Jesus right here is strong. This Jesus right here is mighty. This Jesus right here reminds me of me. This Jesus right here is dependable. This is the picture that I see when I think about Jesus. And it came from her. I want to tell you that my grandma was 110% right. all those girls that she told me I shouldn't be talking to, all those girls she called ugly. Come on. I like look back at, on Facebook and pictures, and I'm like, I'm like, Lord, you kept me, Lord. Won't he do it? Yes. All those people that my grandma said, do not hang around. You're not even allowed to be around them. You know, you're not allowed to want what they want and have what they have. Every last person is in prison, are drug dealers, or are dead. Every last person. She was not wrong about not one person. That one nerdy kid that had his pants up to his navel, now, today, he's my best friend, and he's serving in the United States Air Force. The only person that she was right about, the only person she allowed me to be around was him, and she was absolutely 100% right. I want to tell you that in your life right now, you might not be able to see it. Right now, you may not be able to understand. Right now, you may even, as I'm speaking, you might disagree with me. But let me tell you that God is not restricting you. God is not holding you back. God is not keeping you from a good thing. He's protecting you. He's setting up barriers so the bad things won't come in. And so I hope that today you see that picture of God that I have in my heart and my mind. That God that is strong, that God that is willing to sacrifice, that God that looks a little bit like me, except the part right here. It's all right. I'm working on it. I'm at the Croc Center. I believe that God is not holding you back, but he's protecting you. And that I believe that if you depend on him, if you rely on him, if you see that picture, if you have that picture in your mind, of a God that is loving, a God that is happy, a God that is waiting for you to say yes to him, then I believe that your life will look completely different. And you also will be protected from some of the nonsense that happened in middle school, in high school, and in your community. So I encourage you today to see Jesus from a different standpoint. Can everybody stand up? Take a deep breath. Close your eyes. I want you to think, put that picture of Jesus in your mind, right in front of your eyeballs. That Jesus right there. What does he look like? What is his posture? I was about to say, what is his color? But we're going to go there. Is he smiling? Is he upset? Is he happy? Is his eyes inviting? I want you to now think about this deep, dark sin that you've been hiding. This sin that no one else knows about. You don't talk about. Because maybe it's because you feel guilty. And it's really hard to give up that sin, that thing to a God that's angry. Because when you give up that sin, that thing that you've been hiding, that thing that you're thinking about right now, when you give it up, you're afraid that God is going to penalize you for it. That God is going to step on you. He's going to give you hellfire. But instead, I beg you, I urge you today to think about a Jesus, a God. Look onto his face. And I want you to think about the woman that was bleeding. Him turning around and him catching you right there in your sin. right there in the middle of your sin. Jesus stopping and turning around. And I want you, in your mind, I'm going to just be silent for a little bit. I'm going to give you the opportunity to give it over to him. I'm going to give you the opportunity to reach out and let and turn it over to him. Let him deal with it. I'm going to be quiet, and I want you to picture yourself giving that over to Jesus. There are some of you who are still holding on to it. Give it to them. And in this moment, I want you to just look into his eyes. And I want you to see a Jesus that is not upset, that is not angry, but instead, it's a Jesus that is inviting, that's welcoming, and that's willing to accept you for who you are. Open your eyes. I want to tell you that it's real. He's real. He's loving, and he cares about you. And for the rest of your life, there are going to be people in the world who are going to tell you that Jesus is a different way. They're going to preach this other gospel about his character, about his love, about his grace, about his mercy, about his tolerance. But I want you to remember this moment. Remember today. Today when you saw a different side of God, a different face, one that was not angry, one that is not waiting to pounce on you when you do something wrong, but instead one that sees what you do, sees who you are, and is still inviting. Have a seat. Pray. Let's just close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you for giving us the opportunity to be here in the Gary Merrillville Corps. Thank you, God, for you showing up today. Thank you, God, for protecting us, for keeping us safe. Even when we fight against it, even when we disagree with you, yet you still provide your mercy. You still provide your grace. Even when we think that our way is better than your way, you still provide hope. You still are waiting and willing to accept your people. God, I just pray for those today who, for the first time, gave over their stuff to you. I pray that you keep them strong, God, that you help them find someone in their communities, maybe their families, maybe a friend that share their faith, that share that same picture in their heart and mind of you. And I pray that together they grow strong. I pray for those who are believers and who have struggled with this idea that you hate them or that you are upset with them. Lord, I just pray that they be able to see a different God today. Heavenly Father, I just pray that right now, Lord, that you just your spirit just move and it just descends and rests on the hearts of all these people today. Prepare them for what's coming tomorrow and the next day. Lord, I believe it's going to be rough and it's going to be tough, but Lord, I believe that with that picture, with the true picture of who you are, that we can do unimaginable things. Thank you, God, for being a loving and caring God, that despite our failures, despite our flaws, despite our hard-headedness, you still love us, and you still are willing to invite us back. God, I pray all these blessings over your people, and I pray all these things in your son's name. Amen.
Amen. Why don't you guys give it up for AJ for speaking? That was awesome. You know, we really hope that the words that AJ shared sink down deep, that you remember them. If you have questions, that you talk to one of us or to your youth leader, to your officer maybe who brought you. The last thing we want to do is we have someone who's been with Prayer and Praise Nights for a long time, for a number of years, who's not able to be with us any longer. Erica, would you come up here a second? Yeah. A lot of you know Erica because she was working in the music department, and she's been serving here in the Prayer and Praise Night band for, I don't know, like a century. So, but this is her last time, so if you guys would, you know, just say hi and thank you, and just, I don't know, hug or high five or whatever she's open to. But we're going to pray for her, then we're going to go to snack. So let's pray. Fathers, thank you for Erica. Thank you for her years of service with Prayer and Praise Nights. Thank you, God, for her heart. Thank you, Lord, for her love for you, and thank you, Lord, for her ministry with us. And we just pray as she goes on to the things you've given her and put in her life that you bless her. We pray for the snack that we're about to receive, that you bless it. And everyone said, amen.